Good evening.
If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I believe I forgot to say it this morning, but it really goes without saying, but Gabe and your brethren in Kingsport send their love and greetings. We were disappointed to miss the annual conference, but our Lord knows what's best, doesn't He? He's on His throne. Colossians chapter 3, look with me at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now I have what I believe and pray to be a real hope, a real message of comfort for us this evening. The title of my message is Seek Christ. Seek Christ. Now this message is for a particular people. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ. And the truth of the matter is, if we've not been risen with Christ, that means we are yet in our sin, and there's no comfort there. If we're yet dead in our sin, we have no reason to rejoice, no reason to hope, and no reason to be comforted. All true comfort is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in being risen with Him. Well, that begs the question, who's been risen with Him? Have I been risen with Him? Well, let's take a look. Look back with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who has been risen with Christ? The saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Well, who are the saints and faithful brethren in Christ? We read in Ephesians 1:4 that God chose to save a people from before the foundation of the world. And He chose them in Christ. Ephesians 1 is all about in Christ, in Christ. The only hope is in Christ. We must be in Christ. Well, who did God choose to save in Christ? Look here in Colossians 1, down at verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who's been risen with Christ? Sinners. Sinners need redemption. Sinners need forgiveness. Sinners need to be made worthy to be saints, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Sinners need to be delivered, don't they? We need to be delivered from the power of darkness. Those whom God chose to save are unworthy, wicked, hell-deserving sinners. All right? Are you a sinner? Am I a sinner? We must take our place right there. We're no better than anyone. Paul said, I'm the worst of them all. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I pray we could identify ourselves right there. Look here in chapter 1 at verse 20. This is good news for sinners. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Is that good news to you? Does that sound like something that you need? If you're a sinner, that's good news. We were alienated. We were strangers to God. We did not know God. We did not know Christ. We were His enemies. That's who He reconciled to Himself. That's who He perfected forever before God. That's who He came to save. Sinners. Sinners. Sinners have been risen with Christ. Are you a sinner? Well, how are we risen with Christ? Look over in Colossians 2, verse 8. Paul wrote, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." How are we risen with Christ? Through the faith of the operation of God. What that means, we heard it this morning. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is how we identify ourselves with Christ. We say, I'm with Him. I'm looking to Him. I'm trusting in Him. God has given us a new heart to hear Him, to believe on Him, and nothing else. We were just dead in our sin, weren't we? There we sat, polluted in our own blood, and God came to us and said, "Live." Robed us in the righteousness of Christ, said, "Live." I love this. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6, that God has quickened us together. All right? Key word, together. God has quickened us together with Christ, raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can't get enough of that. God has made us together. You know, two people get together in marriage. It's a beautiful thing. Two people get together. Can you imagine a sinner being made together, one with God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ? It's amazing, ain't it? That God would be pleased to do such a thing for sinners. Here in verse 10 of chapter 2, we read, "You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." We're complete in Christ. Our brother just said it. It's finished. Salvation is accomplished. There's nothing for us to do but rest in Him. Trust in Him. Our acceptance is in Him. We don't have to wonder when we stand before God in that day, "Well, will I be accepted? I don't know." If we're in Christ, we know. He's written these things to us that we might know that we have life in Christ and that we might have it more abundantly. We know. We don't have to wonder. We're complete in Him. Look back in chapter 1 at verse 18. This is Christ, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. We're one with Him. We've been eternally united to Him in God's covenant of grace. And He's the firstborn from the dead. You know why we will rise from the dead? Because we're in Him. Christ arose from the dead. We're risen in Him. And we shall rise forever in Him. He's the firstborn from the dead, and He's the firstborn among many brethren. We're His brethren. That's who's been risen with Him, His brethren. All right, now look back in our text, Colossians 3. That's who's been risen with Christ, sinners, unworthy sinners, chosen in Him, that we might be to the praise of the glory of His grace, saved in Christ. Now, here's our comfort, here's our exhortation. Colossians 3, verse 1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." You know, there is something God has given us that we ought to constantly seek, put our mind to, consider. And it's not the things of this world. Seek the things which are above, not the things that are below. Everything we see with these eyes are things below. And as we seek things here and seek things there and all these things that we can see, you know what that's going to bring us? I promise it's not going to bring comfort and hope. Just walk out the doors, turn on your TV, look online. I don't see any comfort there. I don't see any hope out there. All hope is in Christ. It's all in Him. Seek those things which are above. We need to stop seeking things here. I know we live here. We can't not think about things here. I understand that. We have a lot of things we go through. We have needs. We have responsibilities. But let's not seek these things. Let's not be consumed with these things. Let's not be consumed with things that just don't matter. Earthly things. Everything here is temporary. We brought nothing in here and we can carry nothing out. Let's seek things above. And let's not seek ourselves. It's a dangerous thing to seek. You know, by nature, we're consumed with ourselves. Everything I do is for me. You get married, we're supposed to do everything for our spouse, aren't we? How rarely do we? I mean, honestly, how rarely? Colossians 3, verse 1 again says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." We have come here tonight. We've come into this house and gathered in His name by the grace of God to worship Him. I believe we've come here with a true heart of faith by God's grace to seek Him, haven't we? You don't want me to stand here and fill your head with useless knowledge, do you? Or my opinions. You want to hear of Him. I want to hear of Him. May we seek Him. Christ said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." He said, all these things that you're worried about, everything just running to and fro, and got to do this, got to do that. He said, your Heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. You seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about that. God knows what we need. God will provide everything. He shall supply all our need through Christ, won't He? The riches in Christ Jesus. He said, fear not, little flock. That's a good term for us, ain't it? Little flock. Little birds. But we're His little birds. We're His flock. He said, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's given us His kingdom. He's given us everything. Why is it we're so afraid? What are we sad about? God's given us all things in Christ. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Affection means mind. Set your mind, set your heart on things above. I'll give you something to think about. You have a hope laid up for you in heaven. If you've been risen with Christ, you just think about our brethren that have gone before us. It hasn't been that long, has it? Someone you've loved who's known Christ has departed this world. And you miss them. We miss them. But praise the Lord, it is well with their souls. And very soon we shall follow them. Our Lord Himself said, He said, where I'm going, you can't follow me now, but you shall hereafter. He's our forerunner. He's prepared the way. We're going to follow Him into glory. Footsteps of Jesus. We're following right in His footsteps by God's grace, and soon we'll be with Him forever. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Child of God, set your mind on that. Chew on that. Think about that. Verse 3, think of the blessings. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has bestowed His abundant mercy, His infinite mercy to us. God has given us a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have a true hope. A good hope through the grace of God, the mercy of God in Christ. Praise His name. Verse 4, it says he's given us an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. I thought about this. Think about the inheritance. You know, I'm young. People, at some point in life, most people receive some sort of inheritance, right? What do we do to earn our inheritance? Nothing. I can't. It's not our choice. Now, we're selfish and we want the biggest inheritance we can have. Well, seeking things above, we have the biggest inheritance we could possibly have. Our inheritance is God. It's Christ. It's the kingdom. Everything. What an inheritance. What an inheritance. And I love what it says there in verse 4. It says, that fadeth not away. All these earthly things we think about on the daily. May those things fade each earthly joy. Oh, may we honestly mean that when we sing that. Jesus is mine. The Lord Jesus Christ is mine. We get Him. We get Him forever and ever. Reserved in heaven for you. Turn over with me to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 1. The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. He had just told His disciples that He was going away. They couldn't come with Him. He had just told them, one of you is going to betray me. They all said, is it I? Imagine the trouble that would put in your heart. One of you is going to betray me. Lord, is it I? He told Peter, you know, Peter got lifted up in pride like we all do constantly. And he said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm with you to the end. And the Lord told him, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And then he said, let not your heart be troubled. You mean I'm going to do things? I'm going to be sitting here loathing myself? I'm going to feel like Job, oh, I repent in dust and ashes. Like Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. But let not your heart be troubled. I realize I'm young and I don't know anything about trouble. I acknowledge that. But I'm looking at some people who have endured some serious trouble. And my heart breaks for you when you're in trouble. But we have this word from our Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. He said, you believe in God. Believe also in me. We need to be reminded. Our Lord and Savior died for us. He gave Himself for us. Believe in Him. He said to His disciples, in the world you shall have tribulation. We shall have tribulation. Again, I'm young. I don't know anything about this, but I know it's coming. It's coming. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That's our hope, isn't it? Whatever we go through, consider what Christ went through. And then that puts our troubles into perspective. Consider Him. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm so thankful that Christ went. He said, I go. He didn't tell His disciples anything to do. I'll tell you what He told them to do. Come unto me and rest. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. He went to the cross. I'll never have to. Two thieves stood on His side. And one of those thieves, by the grace of God, cried, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. It was revealed to him in his dying moments, this is God beside me, and He's hanging here for me. I deserve to die. I'm receiving the due reward of my deeds. In Him is no sin. He's done nothing amiss. This is my Savior, my Lord, and my God. He went to the grave. We'll never have to. not the grave of the second death, not to face the wrath and judgment of God. He took our sin upon Himself. He took it Himself, and He gave us His righteousness. He took our shame, and what shame it is, and He gave us His glory. He gave us His glory. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Brethren, there's a mansion with your name on it. And I believe our mansions are going to be located right at His feet. That way we're always looking up to Him, praising Him, worshiping Him, not the mansion. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." When I read this, the preeminent thought that crosses my mind is heaven is a person. Heaven is a place, yes, but heaven is a person. Heaven is Christ. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to sing His praises. We're going to worship. We're going to gather around the throne and worship Him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's what we're going to do. But here's what jumped out to me reading this time. Look what He said. He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." I just can't get over the fact He said, "I'm coming for you. I will receive you." Why in the world would He receive me? Why would He receive me? I wouldn't receive Him. People want to talk about receiving Jesus. I wouldn't receive Him. I rejected Him. How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Honestly, how in the world could that possibly be? The only way it could possibly be is according to God's purpose, for the glory of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake, may we seek this. He said, "I'm coming again. I'm going to receive you. You're coming with me." And He said, "You're going to be with me forever. Where I am, there you'll be also." May we seek that, brethren. And we're back in our text, Colossians 3. Verse 2. "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead." What does that mean, you're dead? It means we're dead to the world. Christ said, "You're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world." This world is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. It's sad how well we fit into the world, isn't it? It's because of our sin. We're not better than anybody else. But Christ said, "You're not of the world." We're dead to the world. We're dead to the law. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Being made a curse for us. We're not under the law, we're under grace. We're not saved by keeping the law, we're saved by looking to Christ. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And we're dead to sin. You say, "Oh, well, I still sin every day." Yeah, me too. I'm sinning right now. That shocks some people. Sinning right now. I can't not sin, because sin is what I am. After conversion is when Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Not before. But God's Word declares sin does not have dominion over us. Sin does not reign over us. Christ reigns over us. We're children of God. We're not slaves to sin anymore, because Christ put our sin away. He took it upon Himself. He nailed it to His cross. They're gone forever, as far as the east is from the west. So let us reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been risen with Him. We have eternal life in Him. Verse 3 here in Colossians 3, it says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now that might confuse you upon first glance. He said, "You're dead, but you're alive." How in the world do you explain that? You're dead. This body of sin, this old man is dead, but the new man, created in Christ Jesus, the new man is alive in Christ Jesus. I'll show you this. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. This is a glorious verse. Galatians 2, verse 20. And this is true for every child of God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How one are we with Christ? Paul said, I'm crucified with Him. When Christ died, I died. Everything He did, I did in Him. We're commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Who here's done that? Nobody. But Christ did. And when He did, so did we in Him. We're commanded to love our neighbor as ourself. Who's done that? You ever just walk outside and hand your neighbor the key to your house, the keys to your car, give him your job? I'm not. Christ loved His neighbor as Himself. We're commanded to love our enemies. I've certainly not done that. We get angry at them, chew them out, don't we? Christ loved His enemies even unto death, made His enemies to be His friends. We're commanded to fully obey God's holy law. And we've not just fallen short, we've fallen as low as we could go. We've never kept one law one time. Think you have, deceiving ourselves. But in Christ we have satisfied God. In Christ, we are loved of God with the same love wherewith He loves Christ. He's given us His glory, He told us. My soul. And this life which we're living in the flesh right now, here's how we live it. By the faith of the Son of God. You know, it's not my faith. My faith is, it's not worth mentioning. That's what my faith's worth. We live by the faith of Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. Our life, from start to finish, is in Him. It's only in Him. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us is our hope. Christ in us is our life. We're in Him. God chose us in Him. And Christ is in us. And that's the only hope of eternal glory. He's not the most important thing in my life. He is my life. I pray God would let us get a hold of that. All the times Paul talked about Christ being his life, to live as Christ, to depart and be with Christ, that's what we're waiting for. We're pressing toward the mark. We're running a race right now. Christ is our prize. He's our exceeding great reward. We're waiting for Him. Our joy is going to be fulfilled when we see Him. Here in verse 4 of Colossians 3, he said, when Christ, who is our life, Christ is our life, He shall appear. Our Lord, brethren, is coming back. I said Christ is our life. Are you ready to live? Say, oh, well, I'm living right now. No, we're not. I'm telling you, this world and everything in it, myself included, this is death. This is nothing but death, but soon we're going to live. Christ is coming back to receive us to Himself. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. I mentioned our brethren, our loved ones that have gone before. I tell you what, I can't begin to understand what this means, but I know this, they're living. Oh, they're living. We drive over to the cemetery. We see their grave. We put some flowers there. We cry. We mourn. They're living. They're living. Why? Because they've been risen with Christ. They're living in Him. Hebrews 9, look with me at verse 27. It says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And I'll just mention, Christ died our death. Christ bore our judgment. We're accepted in Him. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Does that encourage you like it does me? He's coming back. He's going to appear a second time without sin. Yes, Christ was made sin, but He's coming back with no sin because He put that sin away. God shall not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. Christ is seated on His throne in glory right now, and soon we're going to be right there with Him. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What do we say to that? Lord, come quickly. Oh, Lord, come quickly. He can't come soon enough, can He? Back in our text, Colossians 3, verse 4. Our brother Paul wrote, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Not only is Christ coming back, not only shall every eye see Him, not only shall His people rise and be lifted up with Him in the air and forever be with the Lord, we shall appear with Him in glory. That means we shall be with Him in glory. At the Mount of Transfiguration, it says that Moses and Elijah, it said they appeared in glory. They were glorified, and so we shall be. I love this verse. You can turn with me if you'd like. 1 John 3, verse 2. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We read that verse about being conformed to the image of Christ. We're going to awake with His likeness. We're going to behold His face in righteousness. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to be satisfied. We don't reach satisfaction in this life. We're constantly trying. We get stuff, sell stuff, get some accolades on our resume. I tell you, satisfaction is awakening with Him, beholding Him, being one with Him in glory forever. I don't know what's going to happen this evening. Hopefully a little peace and rest for all of us. I don't know what tomorrow brings forth, but I know this. Our Lord's coming back. I don't know if it'll be before I breathe my last breath or not, but He's coming. And when He does, He's going to receive you unto Himself forever if you've been risen with Him. I want to close reading the words of a song. It's a song I've only ever heard sung here. Sung by those three women we just heard sing so beautifully. They call them the Boring Sisters. I don't think they're so boring. But this song blessed my heart from the first time I ever heard it. And I can't wait to hear it again. You don't have to sing it by any means. But this song blessed my heart. It says, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now, brethren, seek that. May God enable us to seek Christ and Christ alone. Amen.